AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. If they live in the Philadelphia and tri-state area, and they can go on the internet and click on the Listen Anytime link and hear the show live here on 860. I know that many of you, we have thousands of people that we email out each Wednesday, letting them know about the broadcast. If you can, send that out to a family member and friends so that our listeners will continue to grow, because we certainly have a lot to say and a lot of good suggestions come through our network here on 860. Well, I want to thank our panel members who are with us today, and they include Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and also Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Before we go on, I want to say a very special thank you to our guest last week, Sarah Blackwell of ProtectUSWorkers.org. Sarah certainly knows what's happening with jobs in America, and our listeners were both shocked to hear what she had to say, and pleased that people like Sarah Blackwell are on the front line trying to do their best to inform people on issues that are largely held back from being reported in the national news media. I can say that without question. I do my very best to keep in touch with what's happening with people. And when people heard it, they said, wow, is it even possible? And I told them to listen to the program a second time, because the amount of information that she shared was extremely important. Her site is linked on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It's on the right side. Click on the Protect USWorkers.org link. Also, you can listen to her broadcast from last week again to hear what exactly was being discussed. Sometimes in 1 hour, a lot of information is shared, and it's good to hear it a second time to understand better what was said in that time period and digest it. I often do that myself so that I remember well what happens, and people tell me they also do that, and I think it's a good thing. But today we've been seeing so much going on in the news media with the elections, with the primaries and everything else. But as I went around over the last week, and I've been to several events, I had the opportunity to talk to people, and most of the people ask me a question, which I am going to propose to each of our panel members today. I want to know what their opinion is. And that question is, what do I feel caused America's difficulties during the last 25 years? People ask me point blank, Michael, what do you really, if you had to put it in one sentence, what do you feel is the biggest thing that happened to America that caused so many of our difficulties during the last 25 years? Now, someone who has experience with that, I'm going to ask to speak up first, and that's Mark Andel. First of all, Mark, how are you?
Good. How are you, Mike? I was blessed with some white stuff today falling down. You guys were keeping all that snow down there. We didn't get much, so that's helping our business up here a little bit. But, Mike, you know, things are good. We got a Winterfest this weekend. We tied a free family fun day to help a family out that had lost a little daughter. So that's coming up this Saturday. So we're still, you know, beating the trail here and keeping positive in the first quarter of 2016. But in answer to your question, I get asked that all the time. What happened? And, you know, again, we say that it's a 30-year mistake. But, you know, three words I always say is America got greedy, selfish, and lazy. And I do think we got lazy in a way, even with our kids, we want better for them. They didn't have the hard times that, you know, my parents might have had. And I think that hurts you because you don't have the hard times, you don't have to have the need. But I think we took our eye off the ball, and we didn't know what was really going on by chasing greed. And I think that that's haunting us now.
Well said. Larkin, what would you answer to that?
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Michael and Henry. Mark, Rich, I haven't heard even a breath out of Rich here this morning. I've got to agree with Mark in large part. It is corporate and government greed. It's corporate greed because they found that they could offshore the goods that they needed to manufacture and sell and could get it at a much better price. To hell with quality, and quality went out the window years ago. I call it government greed in that the government was the perfect individual, the perfect group of individuals to stop that corporate greed, and they did absolutely nothing because they also were getting rich in this scenario. The other thing I would mention that I think has really created so much of a rift and a separation in this country, it's not even funny, and that's political correctness. It's just gone way overboard, way overboard. And as a result, it has created a rift between any two factions that you can compare or that you can put on the same sheet of paper. They find themselves in the middle, you know, trying to protect their name or whatever you might call that. So it's political correctness and corporate and government greed.
Very well said, Larkin. And that's exactly what I respond. Now, Rich, what would you respond to that question?
Guys, good morning. And I guess good morning to our listeners. So I'll add a specific point, Larkin, on we'll call it political correctness and lamestream media. So I want to let our listeners know, and I don't want our listeners to construe this necessarily as support for a particular candidate. It's for a variety of reasons that I went to a volunteer event for, let's just say, the current leading GOP nominee last week. And if you look at most of the lamestream media coverage of the leading GOP candidate at this moment, they're basically called, let me make sure I get this right, uneducated, stupid, white supremacist Nazis. I think I fit it all in. If I missed anything, you guys help me fill the gaps in. And let me tell you, Michael, who I met. Out of 100 people, I met black, Hispanic, white men, women, young and old. I met retirees. I met business owners. I met software engineers. I didn't see anyone walking around with a swastika. I don't know what religion everyone is. I didn't ask that. I don't know what their opinions on gay marriage are. I didn't ask that. I went for research, for the experience. And what I'll tell you guys is that pretty much 99% of the lamestream media's coverage of the current leading Republican nominee are just flat-out lies. Now, Michael, the media lying and deceiving and prevaricating isn't news. I mean, you guys would agree with this? That's not news. What's fascinating about it all is that I look at how the media handles this election. I look at last night. I went to look at some of Huffington Post today talked about how Trump last night winning, that the winner of last night's nomination is what did they say? A racist demagogue, I think were the words that they used. And here's what's so fascinating, boys, about this. The media's run out of tricks. They got no idea how to handle this guy. They got no, I mean, and I'm a former journalist, guys. I'm a former newspaper reporter many lives ago for Gannett, which is U.S. Publisher, USA Today. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've seen it all, but damn it, I've seen pretty much it all. I've never seen this. I've never seen this. And what's also, let me be fair about this point. I look at how the media, which, make no mistake, guys, 95% of lamestream media is liberal progressive, and its propaganda tools are all based in all of this Pinko Olinsky crap, all that commie crap, okay? That's what most of the lamestream media. I look at how the media's handled Clinton getting her ass kicked last night and saying, well, it's not that big a deal. I mean, Bernie, he can't get that much love. What's going on? I mean, let's be fair about this point, guys. Let's be fair about the point. Bernie, he kicked her ass last night. And it's only one state. But we all know, as we've been following politics for a long time, you win New Hampshire, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Bernie, he won huge, huge last night. And Trump beat by a wider margin what Kasich actually got. And Kasich's 15 minutes of fame is up after today. Last night was the book deal campaign. His 15 minutes of fame, Trump won by more than what Kasich got. So, guys, we're witnessing something here that I don't think we can really say we've seen in the modern times.
Well, Rich, you've answered that question quite well. And I will tell you, that is exactly one of the things that the people are angry with in America. You know, for a long time, people said that they saw presidential elections come and go, and there was very little activity in advance of the election. Definitely not the number of debates, definitely not the type of characters being exposed on during those debates on the TV, definitely not the type of enthusiasm. In each of the states where they had the two primaries to date, the caucus and the primary, there has been record numbers of people coming out. Now, Rich, in Florida, when you went to that volunteer event, did they consider this going to be a record turnout for the primary whenever that comes there?
Primary, guys, is next month in Florida. And this primary, the winner of this primary it's probably going to be your nominee. And I'm working the polls. And the poll workers and the supervisors whom I've met are expecting a record turnout for the primary. The general election is expected to have a record turnout depending on who's nominated. So the Republican Party still might want to raise up Heb Bush, you know, Heb. They might want to raise Heb up, you know, the phoenix rising from the ashes in this state. But who knows, right? And Rubio down here. So the fact is, I think, Michael, Florida, this is you. I mean, it's a big state, and we know this, right? Following politics, and I'll tell you guys just my observations about Trump in Florida. You win the senior vote down here, it's a wrap. And I'm going to tell you something about the seniors I meet. Overwhelmingly, the seniors I meet here, they're on board with Trump. Overwhelmingly. You win that vote here, and we know that seniors always come out to vote. They always come out to vote. And I think down here, based on just, you know, trying to take a pulse on things, I think the seniors are for the most, I think really overwhelmingly, they're on board with Trump. And you win their vote, you win this state.
Rich, you talk about history being made. You running the voting booths in Florida. I mean, that's historic.
I got to tell you, Mark, I've told the supervisors. I said, I just want to be clear about something. I got a silver helmet on my desk because Patton used to walk around with a silver helmet on, and his troops used to ask him.
I heard word that they're
why do you wear a helmet?
Shops and he used to that are located from your apartment to the booth. But
well, Mark, I'm going to tell you, Patton used to tell his soldiers, if I wear a shiny silver helmet, the enemy can see a mile away. And Patton used to say, I know. I want him to know I'm coming. And I've already told the supervisors.
I'll send you that stainless steel helmet to match your toaster.
Oh, don't worry. I use that, Mark. I use that
for the panel.
I use that toaster. I use that toaster for some of our friends from England.
Rich, imagine a debate today So if we went back 6-12 months when it started, imagine it without Donald Trump in it. Like it, like him, don't like him, whatever. But imagine how it would be today. It'd probably be more exciting watching grass grow, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what people tell me everywhere I go, Mark. This has turned around because...
And that's change. I mean, if you didn't vote, if you hate it, whatever, it's making change.
Right.
That's how you make change.
Now, here's the second question people ask me, which I give them my opinion. I want to hear what you would give. What would you do to change things around right now? If you were the president of the United States, Mark, what would be the first and second thing you would do immediately?
Right away, you've got to... It's a business. And you got to admit, you got to one team, one goal, no matter what side, what color, what race, three eyes, four eyes, square head. It doesn't matter. We got it. This is our country. It's America. We got to take it back over to the fundamental, to our basics. You always go back to the basics. What we wanted out of this country, and you start leading. You take care of one thing at a time, but you got to eat an elephant one bite at a time. So you've got to get everybody together. You got to have a plan. We talk about it all the time, and I've always got a plan. I write 100 things a day, and I do the top 10. The first 10 are priority, and then you take the changes that come and deal with them. But you've got to lead, and you've got to take care of the country. We've got to create jobs. Jobs, if a family is working, you're putting your own food, shelter, and clothing on your table and for your family. That's how America was built. You've got to get people to work because it takes care of so many other problems. So that's number one. Take care of ourselves. For 5 years, we're going to take care of ourselves and get us strong again.
Very well said. And that's exactly...
And you know,
yes, Larkin.
And, you know, that's... I'm captivated with... And again, I don't know who I get asked every day who I'm going to vote for president, and I know no better today than I did 4 weeks ago. But I saw Trump this morning live. He actually was in New York and went into the CBS Morning studios with Rose, who I love, who I absolutely love as a reporter. And even though he's a liberal, I love him. But he interviewed Trump. He was a milder man, a quieter man, less abrasive. He talked about the Middle East like he knew what he was talking about, the mistakes that had been made in the past and the mistakes that he wouldn't make. I sat there watching him going, this isn't the buffoonish type approach that I've been watching and people have been claiming to me that the guy's been making. So... Trump is this smart. I don't care what anybody says. If he really kind of cleans it up and he cuts a quarter of an inch off of his hair every Friday afternoon, and eventually, 2 months from now, we look at him and we go, wait a minute, this guy's as presidential as anybody I know.
If he came out with an afro.
He could actually win. Now, the first thing that I would do if I were president of the country is that I would shoot all the cows, all the milkers in the country, and then I'd send Harry Reid out for milk.
Do they understand where milk comes from, Larkin?
Well, that's just it. I'm sure poor Harry would come back a couple times going, I can't find any. Does it come from a cow?
That's off a tree, right?
Off a tree. Poor Harry doesn't know.
But you're right, Larkin. I mean, it's unbelievable. These people have... What these debates have shown us, that these majority of these people lived in a bubble for so many years. In fact, the debate watchers, the eyeballs watching the TV has never been anywhere near the numbers that it has been now, because the people are sick, they're tired, and they're disgusted of the same rigmarole. And what they're looking for, quite frankly, everybody, is they want to see something different. They want to see somebody who's going to tell them that we're not going to be just another country in the world. We are going to be special again. That's where Trump's selling point is. And Bernie Sanders is talking about he wants to give so many things away. Hillary, I mean, it's just impossible to understand what every day there's a new change in an idea. But Trump, maybe he was so wild, and I've met Trump on three occasions, and he's normally been a very, you know, sort of stay in the background type of a guy at these events, just making his way around, shaking everybody, you know, hello with the hellos. I don't know how much of a handshaker he is, but he was always with the hello, hello, good to see you, nice to, hey, thank you, hope you're having a good time. He could have been putting on this thing, let's see what's going to happen in the next few months, because I'm thinking he wanted to see if he is so wicked and wild with his words, would all of the other candidates come out and show who they are, who they really are?
Mike, you know, we cannot have another 4 to 8 years of what we have. We know this as a team here on the radio. We know this to our listeners know this. I myself, we're going through tough times again. You know, it gets tiring, but you make the cuts. Again, I mentioned on the radio 3 weeks ago, we went to 4 days a week, all my 60-plus employees, because that's the fair plan. You lead when you're a leader. It might not be the popular vote. I tell them, watch the movie Roadhouse, buy some extra tires. That's what I got to do. Because it's not popular, but you cut where you have to. I don't care if it's a janitor. Everybody's going to have a job here, but no entitlement. I don't give out entitlement. I don't care who you are, color. It's, we all work together as one team, and that needs to be done. We cannot have another 4 to 8 years of what we're having.
No, we can't. We can't have.
Period.
Absolutely not. In January of 17, a new change, a whole new face has to come upon America. And that's the way I feel about it.
You know what I think about entitlements? And Mark said it well, but I'd add a little bit to that by saying I wouldn't give out entitlements. I think entitlements are the ruination of this country.
Absolutely.
But I'd take that money and I'd turn entitlements into opportunity. I mean, nothing's free. There shouldn't be anything in the world that's free except air. Education should be an investment. Medicine and medical care should be an investment. You mean to tell me I'm going to get an education just because, you know, two bimbo teenagers climbed in the backseat of the car and conceived me? I'm going to get an education and free medical care? That's just egregious.
That's right. You know,
this is the number one problem, guys, right? What we're talking about right now.
Gimme. That's the way it's been for years. I want it. I demand it. I should have it. I feel discriminated against if I don't get it. But what are you really doing? If you're doing something good for the well-being of the people, that's fine. You know, some years ago, I requested that we should have a Civil Corps. And somebody said, what is a Civil Corps? It was on my Saturday show. What is a Civil Corps? I said, well, how about we have people that go to college? And you know how they do the co-op programs? In order to get a discount on your college, you give 6 months, you go to college for 6 months, and you give 6 months to the Civil Corps where you learn a skill, you do something that your talents are giving to the community. People said, oh, that's impossible. I said, no, it's not, because Drexel University in Philadelphia does it each and every day and has been doing it for years.
All you've got to do is take a look at the federal government's Job Corps. What a beautiful program that is. It gets very, very little press, very, very little promotion. But SCORE Philadelphia taught a 8-week class on how to start your business, whether it be a landscaping business, a tire-changing business, whatever it was, whatever level. We taught the core competencies so that these kids, girls and boys alike, could go out and enter and become functioning members of the economic community. And the entire time they were taking this course at the Job Corps headquarters in Philadelphia, in South Philadelphia, they were being paid by the government. The course was free, and they were being paid. If you didn't come to class, you didn't get paid. That's not an entitlement. That's an opportunity. And we have to take away the entitlements that say, you know what, don't even get up off your front stoop. Don't even put out your cigarette. Just sit there because we'll direct deposit your check into your account.
You know,
come on, guys. Come on.
Right.
My father tells me every day how hard he hit it that his mother beat him every day, right? So if my father said to his mother, you know, give me this, she'd hit him. And then if he said it hurt, he'd hit him again. And if he complained in school that your father, he'd get beat again, right? So just a different world, you know. You don't want a handout. It wasn't even in my genetics to want a handout. I want to work for what I've got. And that's what we got to get back in our culture.
That's right. Oh, Mark, that was put well, very well.
So Mark, My father wore a ruby red wedding ring, and he turned that ruby red ring. He turned that ruby onto the inside of his hand, and he'd whack me in the back of the head. And you talk about a noogie.
My father was just telling me today his mother beat him with a broom. You know, that's why he still got stomach problems.
And one day I was walking out of the kitchen, and I walked by my dad, and he said, "Have a great day." And he whacked me with a ruby in the head. I said, "What the hell did I do?" He said, "I don't know, but you did something yesterday that probably would have made you."
Put you on guard, Larkin.
You do rock.
Now, Rich, I'm going to ask
Michael.
You, what are the two things that you would change if you became the president of the United States in January 2017?
Michael, I'm going to start. Not that I'm a single-issue voter. I've said it on air. I'm not. But my big issue has been, is, and will always be our economy, our free enterprise. Okay, and I'm going to make a broad point about this. The first thing, Michael, that I'm doing, I'm going after that $2 trillion plus overseas.
Very good.
I'm going after it. I'm sitting down, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going after it. You know, we had Sarah on last week, and she brought up a dark side of the let's just say a dark side of the economy. And Larkin, you had a response afterwards where someone was commenting about our education and how we educate in line with our economy. And like everything, guys, there's two, sometimes multiple sides to an issue. But the reason I'm going after that $2 trillion, Michael, is because even with all the crap we've talked about, even with the crony capitalism, even with the duopoly, this election has proven, in my opinion, once and for all, that those who have been talking about the two-party system duopoly have been affirmed and correct. Hallelujah, amen. This election's showing it. But even with all that crap, even with all that stuff, on average, someone could still make a better living in America than anywhere else because of our economic power, our awesome economic power. But once opportunities start dwindling, and make no mistake, guys, I think they are, if those opportunities start dwindling, what inevitably happens when the opportunities dwindle, then a country collectively decides to start depending more on the government. Opportunities decrease, call the government. I have no money, call the government. I have no job, call the government. My health care is too expensive, call the government. Dependency, dependency, dependency. Anybody who's paying attention cannot refute what it is that I'm saying. Not because I'm right, not because I'm smart, just because I pay attention. And an informed electorate scares the crap out of these two parties more than anything else. More than anything else. An informed, awake electorate.
You're right, Richard.
I'm going after that $2 trillion, Michael. I'm sitting those CEOs down. I'm talking to them. I'm making deals. You come to the Rose Garden. You commit to start putting some competition with these companies.
See, Rick,
not because I think government should wrap its claws all over a free enterprise, because I don't. Yeah. But I'm going after that money.
Rich, my two words this year was educate the customer, raise awareness. The debate raised awareness for you about that $2 trillion, but then you took it further and did your homework on it. Like you said, you're not dumb. You went and found out what they're talking about. Let's get that $2 trillion spent here in the United States of America, right?
Let's go after it. Let's go after it. Because if someone goes after it and fails, at least I'm going to say he or she tried. Try. Well,
that's a lot of beers, Rich.
It's a lot of beers. I mean, just think about that, guy. Aren't you smiling a little bit thinking about $2 trillion?
That was your first point. You want to bring money back to America. How about your second thing? What would you do to make a positive change here in the USA?
I'll give you a broad point, Michael. In my business, I sell barcoding technologies. When I go to companies, I ask them a question. Do you know what products, the stuff that you sell, that you make a living on, that you make money on, that you employ people with, the things that you sell, if you don't know what's coming in and out of your company, you don't have long to live. Mark, go the next 6 months without tracking any inventory.
It's the lemonade stand. They can't run the lemonade stand, even though their parents are giving them free lemonade. I mean,
you're out of business, Michael. You're out of business.
Right.
So my broad point is this. You got to know who's coming in and out of who the hell's coming in and out of your country. You got to.
Yeah, you gotta.
And there's a thousand ways, by the way. There's a thousand ways to do that tracking. There's a thousand ways for people that e-verify and all. I mean, I had to do it maybe 8 years ago or maybe 10 years ago now, after 9/11. Probably, Mark, you had to do it too. We all had to verify the people who worked within our organization.
A letter on each employee.
Exactly. We had to confess who the person was, you know, how long they've been there, their social security number, the whole deal. Why can't we have another one of them? Why can't we have everybody put on paper, and those that are not, well, then you have to register. Maybe we can't put them out of the country, but
you're going to give them $200 and they'll sign it and then tell them what you did with it.
What I am saying is that in a business, when you sell inventory, your inventory is your lifeblood.
Absolutely.
In a country, your people is your inventory. Okay? This isn't about singling out people from other countries. We have people who have come. We have no idea, right, where they've come from. We need to know who is coming in and out of our country.
Legally.
The no borders thing has failed in Europe. It has failed.
Right.
It has failed.
Yes. Right.
Period.
Yeah.
But guys, come on. Seriously. I really want to be like Denmark. I do. I want to be like Denmark, and I want to be like Sweden. I want to be like all of those Scandinavian countries over there. Why would I want to be an American? Those countries have it so good over there. It's the panacea of the universe. Seriously.
But, Larkin, I know what you're saying. Okay, I understand the point you're making. I'm coming back to my point before, which is this. Even with the crap we've had, on average, you still make a better living here. You still do. On average, you still do. But when those opportunities start shrinking, and I think they are, that's when all of this collectivist ideology starts to become really enticing. I mean, communism, all these things, they are enticing.
When Larkin buys a boat,
get lulled into it. And that is why, Michael, you got to get this country back to work.
You're right. And, you know, I want to tell you something. As I talk with people and they say, well, I don't know about this. Do you think that many jobs were gone? I say this to them. When you're going home today or you're traveling this week, look on the highways to see how many businesses are closed, how many businesses are up for sale, how many businesses have large signs on them available, and then you'll tell me what you think the next time we see each other. The bottom line is the media has not been doing their job to tell the people that you're living in a country where you don't have enough jobs for the people that you have. They gave a report last week on the news media, how many jobs were created and the unemployment went down. Guys, I want to tell you something. The baby boomers, 10,000 people retire every day, with 300,000 people retiring last month. 150,000 jobs doesn't cover the 300,000 people that retired. And that is the bottom line. If you look on the debt clock, I asked them to put up from the year 2000, you will see that with a population of 55 million less in the year 2000, we had 150 million people working. And now with a population of 323 million people in America, we have 145 million working. So how does that balance out? It doesn't make sense. We're looking at people who left the work situation. They got off the records because they went to so many job interviews, they could not get a job, so they just went out of the picture. That's where the problem is. Somebody has to start monitoring the nest, or the fox will run away with what little we have.
Hey, Mike, I've got a positive call this week. Sue got a positive call from this Evelyn Sabina. She coordinates the Dream It, Do It projects in Western New York, and the call was neat. It came in Monday, and she said, we showed a movie called American Made Movie. She's telling Sue this down in Jamestown Community College, and 200 people stood up and applauded at the end, and they knew that Made in America store was in their area, so the lady hosting the event didn't know. But it was a great, this Dream It, Do It, and I know we had somebody on your radio, and I don't
yes,
know if
yes, Michael Marchetti. He's the manager of Dream It, Do It program.
What was his name again, Mike?
Michael Marchetti.
Marchetti. Yeah,
he's from New Jersey. In fact, we're trying to work together. He's from the New Jersey Advanced Manufacturing Talent Network, and we had that Ray Vaccari on, if you remember.
Yes.
He was very impressive, and also Ian Trammell. Now, we were trying to get a summit at some point in the spring together to bring all of these issues together, maybe do a few hours on the radio, maybe do a public event. We have got to do it, because even in the debates, guys, there's still not enough focus on jobs. We're talking about ISIS. We're talking about everything else, but we're not talking about USA, our land.
Mike, you know, I watched the Saturday night debate, had recorded it, watched it. But again, why can't they come out and talk about building products and manufacturing in your own country?
Because they're afraid to, Mark. The news media would look very bad. All these people would look very bad, because why haven't they been talking about it all these years? That's why they want to avoid it.
Yeah. They touch on it. They go around it. They dance around it. And we've said it's not sexy.
And if you notice, it's only a very short period of time before they run right to the next subject.
Yeah.
Very short. Because what real history can Bernie Sanders or any of those people show that they've done to create jobs? Really? I mean, they would struggle being in these bubbles. Living in Washington, they're living in a bubble. When I told you a couple of weeks ago that I said to one elected individual, I said to him, what would you do with this? And he says, I don't know. We'll have to go to the study committee. They have no idea what is going on. In fact, all this that Sarah spoke about last week, many of the people that I said, did you tune in? I gave even a CD out to one person. They said they were shocked. They can't believe this is going on in America, and America's highest leadership in Washington is helping it, not trying to stop it. Now, I want to go to our second subject, but before we do, I have to acknowledge some of our very faithful supporters. It'll take me 2 minutes, and as we prepare to celebrate Valentine's Day, I'm asking all of you to discuss great things about America, support your local florists, candy shops, and all, to make sure that we support one another, and also let them know about our broadcast and all of our efforts with National Small Business Weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. Best wishes to all from Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, from everyone from Serena's Auto Body Shop, as well as the Net Cost Market with two locations in Philadelphia, and Mr. Joseph Dravot of the PRCUA, as well as Michael Steinman, attorney at law, wish all of you a very happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for supporting the Buy American Made campaign and American Workers Radio. Also, Dr. Eva Machak is a very well-known dentist in Philadelphia, and she sends her best wishes out, as do all of the members of Polka Deli in Port Richmond, the Polish-American Travel Service, also in Port Richmond, our friends from Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, as well as Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, and Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, serving clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Also, best wishes from Mr. Frank Spula, who is the president of the Polish National Alliance. And I also would like to note that the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union has banking offices in several states, but they are also a bank that you can do business with strictly online. So do check them out at psfcu.com. Also, best wishes and happy Valentine's Day from all of our friends and supporters at the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. Check them out at sugarhousecasino.com. And in behalf of all of us at American Workers Radio, I urge you to check out our internet site. Send it out to other people in the email. Let them know what's going on. Talk it up, because we're the people who are making the change happen. Without people like us and many others across the states that are going out of their way to talk about America and the way America has to return to be, we wouldn't have the types of debates, we wouldn't have the discussions, we wouldn't have the big crowds coming out on all of the primary elections. Hopefully they will come out in those numbers in the major election in November as well. But thank you to all, and Mark, Rich, and Larkin, Henry, and everyone involved, thank you for all that you do to support American Workers Radio. Now, as we return back today, I have to say this because most people have a lot to tell me about in the travels that I go out on. And when they do, they tell me so much about watching the primary discussions, the debates. And they will say to me, I'm really very in support of this one. And I do ask the question, are you registered to vote? Well, I would say 60% of them are registered to vote, and that's very good. And I say, well, I appreciate all of your enthusiasm, but if you're not registered to vote, then you're just a person floundering in the air like a fish out of water. I said, you have to register. It's very easy to register. They already have all of your information, your Social Security number, the whole deal, no matter what you, whatever you do, whether it's a credit card or you buy a car, or whatever, they have all your information. Don't be afraid to give it to the Election Bureau. So I tell people also that in many states in the primary, you have to be elected registered in either the Democratic or the Republican Party, that you can't be an independent for that particular election. More and more states are starting to allow independents to vote in the primaries, and it's up to 19 states now have an open door policy that you can come on the day of the primary and elect either a Democrat or Republican, whoever you choose. But that's only 19 out of 50 states. So do register and go out of your way to support the candidate. And the reason I'm pushing that today is some of you may have a candidate that's either a Democrat or a Republican. If you don't live in an open primary state, then you either have to be a Democrat or a Republican. So register. Registrations are very easy to take care of. Don't ever be afraid to contact them if you want to change your party or whatever. They're there and they're being paid for with your tax dollars. It's not like Rich is going to be a volunteer in his primary down there. These people at the Election and the Registration Bureau are there paid by your tax dollars. If you want to re-register 5 or 6 times a year to be something different, that's your prerogative. So if you're 18 years of age or older, a citizen of the United States, I want you to know that voter registration forms are available at all of your elected officials' offices, at post offices, and at libraries. You can go to the post office. It's always there in the rack. And at libraries, some people can go to their elected officials, and whatever you choose to do, but please do it. There's also something I want to bring to your attention. On the front page of our internet site, we have a new link that was put up there, Register to Vote. It goes to a national site. It's registertovote.org. It'll take you to that site. You can do, either do it there, or you can look up additional information about the voting requirements. You can see which states are the open primary states. Do check it out. It's right on the top and right above our panel members on the front page. Now, Larkin, you have been involved in registering people in the past. What was the main reason people registered?
Well, I think it was because they had a passion for the candidate. My favorite story on the question you just asked me is in my little ward in South Philadelphia, when Hillary ran the first time in the primaries against Barack Obama, the liberal people in our neighborhood and their progressives, they are what they are. There's no way of calling them anything else. But the lion's share, believe it or not, of Republican voters wanted Hillary to win. So we called them Hillary Dems, and they actually unregistered as Republicans and registered as Democrats. I think I lost like 30% of our voters in our ward just so they could go over onto the Democratic side and vote for Hillary. It was all for naught, and not a lot of them, believe it or not, came back. So we concentrated on the independents. So that's what happens. Generally, they believe in somebody. I think they would have done the same thing 8 years ago for Christie. I think he was a hot topic. He was a controlled Donald Trump. He told it like it was. He wasn't afraid to accept the challenge of a question from anybody. He didn't call people buffoons and, you know, some of the other names that Donald has used to this point. But, you know, a lot of people would have done the same to have seen Christie progress, I think, at that point.
Now, Larkin.
So it's usually a candidate.
Okay, Larkin. Now, have you approached people trying to register them?
I do that to everybody.
And their response was?
My vote doesn't count. Yeah, why? I'm a little grain of sand on a very large beach.
That's
and
it,
I
Larkin.
Said, well, the beach takes a lot
That's
of
it.
Grains. And, you know, so it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if this country ever, you know, for Reagan's second election, I think, we came out and hit some new all-time highs. But that's because everybody wanted Reagan to serve a second term, even Democrats.
Right.
The infamous Reagan Democrats. So, you know, maybe Donald Trump, maybe a controlled Donald Trump, you know, brings them out.
Now,
very well may.
Rich, I have a question. In your volunteering down there in Florida, what do you find is with the people? Do you find a lot of independents? Is Florida an open primary state where you can go in and vote no matter what party you're registered with?
Well, I haven't, Michael. Just to be clear, I've done much more conversing and talking and ranting and raving than volunteering to this point. Florida is not a, in my opinion, it is not a guarantee for either party. And we can point to history on this. I mean, we can go back to the 2000 election, where it's believed that approximately 250,000 Democrats voted for George W. Bush.
Okay, that was in the general election, or was that in the primary?
No, that was in the general. That was in the general
okay,
election.
I'm talking about the primary election, because this is a big, a lot of people telling me now they're independents. They registered as independents, and they have a particular candidate that they're going out for. I said, well, remember, as an independent, you cannot vote in the primary if you want to
not
move that.
Not Florida. You can't do it in Florida. You have to be registered to a party.
Either Democrat or Republican, correct?
Correct. Right.
Okay. So make sure, everyone listening, that you consider that, because Pennsylvania is the same way. You cannot go and just show up as an independent and vote. They, unless there's some, you know, party independent person on the ballot, you can go and vote in that booth. But in this primary, it's only Democrats and Republicans in certain states.
Michael, it's important. It is, excuse me, Larkin. It is important to stress this now because this, we've gone through the summer. We've gone through the initial interest in some of these candidates. Where we're at right now, this is game time. This is it. Because these prime, I mean, Larkin, we're talking about turnout. Iowa and the reports I'm reading today for New Hampshire last night, record turnouts.
Yeah,
sometimes that's fool's gold, right? Because you look at the turnout and look at the percentage of eligible registered voters, and it's not as high as we want. So I realize there's a duality to this. But in the general election in 2008, we had a record general election turnout of 60%. And think about how many, Larkin, think about how many independents, and we'll say, though I don't like labels, moderate Republicans, voted in 08 for Obama.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, so, Rich, you have your work out. When is the last day to register for Florida's? Usually in states, it's 30 days prior to the election. So listening and you haven't had the primary, which we've only had one caucus and one primary, you can go to that site on the front page. It's register to vote. Just click on that, and it'll take you and give you a lot of information about your state, how long. Some states do it 15 days before the election. There are even a couple places you can go on the day of the election, but they're few and far between.
So you gotta say some really nice things about the state of Florida, because not to be registered in the state of Florida, you have to go out of your way, because you can barely mail a package without them saying, can I check your political preference here and register you to vote? I went in to get a license plate for my car, and the woman said, while we're at it, I said, I'm already registered. Good Lord, they registered me when I got a driver's license. So Florida really, really presses it. And that's why Florida generally has a much better turnout than other states in the union.
Right.
They're pretty aggressive.
Now, Larkin, if I asked you why some other states do not do that, what would your answer be?
Because the more people who vote in the state of Pennsylvania, the more people who vote in the state of Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, the more people that show up at the poll, the more assured you can be that the Democrats will win.
Okay.
So Republicans aren't pushing it. Light turnout, you elect a Republican. Heavy turnout, you elect a Democrat. So why would the Republicans want a lot of people showing up at the polls?
Okay.
My
thing is
political punditry.
I'm looking to get everybody, because the 2016 election looks like it's going to be a turning point for a lot of national issues. If things continue the way they are right now, we're going to see some real interesting things happen, because no matter who gets in, people are not going to allow this sleeping giant to stay sleeping anymore. America's tired of being pushed to the side of the road. They really are. Everywhere I go, people said, I'm so disgusted. I've never seen anything like it. And when they tell me, I hate to call the Voter Registration Bureau, I said, why? They're being paid for with your tax dollars. Don't hesitate to call them. And they say, well, that's a good point. I'll do it. And also, when I go around, I have voter registration forms with me. I go to a meeting, I give it out. Mark, you have probably mail-in voter registration forms for your people there in Buffalo. Don't be afraid to put them on a table somewhere. If a Buffalonian or someone from New York takes that thing, and they know that you're concerned about your business and also the future of America. And that's the most important message that I think we've generated during today's broadcast, that we have to be part of the system if we want real change to come about. Because we have not been part of the system and the political leaders been looking the other way, you heard what Sarah Blackwell had to say before last week. She said before you had to have a reason to come to America. Now you just fill in the application, give them a story that you're qualified to do this and that, and you're in. I think that should be stopped. 3 to 5 years for everybody to reconsider what we're doing in America.
Michael, wow. I've told this story on air, to Larkin's story. When I moved here from New York and I got my license, and I was asked by the clerk, would you like to register to vote? I said, absolutely. And she asked me, Republican or Democrat? And I said, other. And she said, well, there is no other. And I said, I know, that's the problem.
That's right.
I know, that's the problem. And, you know, Larkin, I got to say, though, it's not that what you said is wrong all the time. But high turnout, Democrat victory, I'm not so sure about that depending on the election. I'm not so sure. Just my opinion. I think Clinton's support nationally is grossly exaggerated. I think it's grossly exaggerated.
I don't think there's any question of that. I don't think there's any question of that. And I think that this country was caught so much by surprise by Donald Trump's approach that at first it was refreshing. At second, people found themselves going, well, maybe this is too much. At third, they found themselves defending him. And I think he's going to calm down, but his message is going to remain the same. This country's broken, and we need to fix it. We need to fix it with people other than who broke it.
Yeah, I think, Mark, in that residual impact, that's a really key point. And, Mark, I'm going to tell you, I've been telling people, and I'm going to say it today, Donald Trump can win New York in the general.
Yeah.
He can win New York in the general election.
Well, gentlemen, I hate to tell you, it is already time for final thoughts. What is your final thought for today, Mark?
Mike, I just, and the team and our listeners, I just want to remind them again, you know, thanks for listening to us, but, you know, go out when you're shopping. Again, buy Made in America products. My mission, our mission, is to create and save jobs. So, again, you can listen. It's hard to make a difference, but as a consumer, you have that power to go change. And go change while you're thinking about who you're going to elect. Right away, you can buy something Made in America and get educated on who's running. This is a very important year, and make sure you vote. Mike, you pounded that today, but it's so important to exercise your vote.
Very well said, Mark. And, Rich, what would you like to have as a final thought?
I'm going to echo it, Michael. Get registered to vote. Those who say that those who stay home and don't believe that they influence the outcome, I have to respectfully say I believe they're mistaken.
They are mistaken. And, Larkin, your final thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's registered to vote, but mostly it's get involved. Somewhere, somehow, get involved. Quit living off the land. Get involved and help out in whatever level you can, whether it's political, social, economic, however you can help, get involved and help.
Right. We want to make sure that what we're doing during this year, support our manufacturers, support America's manufacturers. So we're competing with products now coming to America from all over the world. We have to become customers of the products that are made in America as well as the foreign made. When we get that 50-50 balance, we're going to be a very, very happy American people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday morning at 11, I want to wish all of you the very best. Stay well. Please do listen to a rebroadcast of today's show or any of the broadcasts with Sarah Blackwell or any of the shows before that by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. And don't forget to check out that Register to Vote link right on the top.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.